Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. When I was a veterinary medical student doing a clinical rotation in small animal medicine, one of the professors mentioned that we could never call ourselves real veterinarians until we picked up stool with our bare hands. This wasn't a clinician who was prone to jokes and levity, so I took the comment seriously. But at that time, I couldn't imagine of any circumstances that would cause me to do this. I wasn't in private practice that long until such an opportunity arose. One of my hospitalized patients was an animal who I had admitted with a severe, watery, then bloody diarrhea, who responded very well to treatment. But he was a timid little dog, as well as one who took his house training very seriously. Not only wouldn't he eliminate in his cage, he wouldn't even eliminate in one of the special runs specifically for this purpose. On that particular day, at that particular time, all of the techs were busy, and I noticed that he appeared somewhat anxious, the way housebroken animals appear when they really have to go. This was too good of an opportunity to pass by. So I took the dog out, and he wandered around, and we wound up in a more wooded area. It was cold out there, and it was wet out there, but eventually, there it was, that perfect little nugget of poo. I looked around me and realized that there was no way I could take that dog back inside the clinic, put him in his cage, pick out the proper equipment, come back out, and find that wonderful little turd. I thought about that for about maybe a millisecond, then I reached down and picked up my prize. I took it and the dog back into the clinic, made my tests, was pleased with the results, and the dog went home and did well. That was back in the old days where all we were looking for were parasites, bacteria, maybe some evidence of improper digestion, but that was pretty much it. The science now is much more greatly developed, and researchers are now using fecal samples from a wide variety of wild and captive wild animals to find out exactly what is going on. Sometimes what they discover has more to do with the animal's environment than the animals themselves. In a study published in the journal Current Biology, Japanese researchers described how they used Asiatic black bear samples to determine what was going on with the cherry tree population. They were concerned about how the trees would adapt to climate change. They examined the bear scat for evidence of cherry tree pits, and then by analyzing the amount of oxygen they found in the pits, they could determine the elevation of where the cherry pits had been deposited. This told the scientists that the bears were moving into higher elevations and taking the potential for the cherry trees with them. In the captive animal arena, such as in zoos, fecal samples have become a non-invasive, energy-efficient way to study the animal's health. And studying cortisol levels of captive and free wild animals is a good way to determine their mental state. At the Smithsonian Conservation Biology Institute, reproductive biologist Jane Brown studies hormone levels in the stools of animals. Thanks to her studies, those at the zoo learn that clouded leopards are stressed by people watching them. As a result of that, they provided the animals with more ways to escape from prying human eyes. Another study of captive female cheetahs revealed another type of information. It turns out that captive cheetahs don't mind being together, but when they are together, it disrupts their reproductive cycles. A colleague of Dr. Brown's, Dr. Jesus Maldonado has studied stool samples from a wide variety of animals. Give him enough samples from the same kinds of animals in the same area, and he can estimate the total population, tell you the gender ratios, number of males to number of females, and the genetic relationship between the animals in the area. This is vital information, particularly in the case of endangered species. Knowing how big the gene pool is as vital as knowing how many males and females there are. But the big thing for many scientists is that the technique is non-invasive, as well as a motherload of information about what's going on with that animal and the animal's environment.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore, by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Katova Arts, www.katova.com.